I will enter.
Joyce.
thank you, Lord, that you are unchanging. Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you have never forsaken us. You have never walked away. You have never left us on our own. But, Lord, that you are always there. You always want to be involved in every situation, in every part of our lives, if we are just willing to call upon the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us your Son, and that we can have freedom from this world. We can have freedom in Christ. We can have freedom under the blood of Jesus Christ and forgiveness from sin, and that we have a hope of eternity, a hope that is to come of living, dwelling, and worshiping you forever. And Lord, I just pray this morning as we offer up a sacrifice of praise to you, Lord, that it would be a sweet aroma. It's not one that we are doing of ourselves, but Lord, what you have done within us that we are offering back to you. And Lord, thank you so much that you continue to work, that you continue to dwell amongst your people, and that your temple is still here in amongst each and every one of us that are willing to give our lives to you, and that you desire to continue to do your work and show yourself powerful no matter what's going on in this world, no matter the wars or the rumors of wars, the destruction or men's greed or anything that is going on. But Lord, you are still at work. You are still present. You are still in control. There is nothing that this world has, Lord, that we can take control of, but you have not already ordained. Lord, I pray that we would be as Daniel. No matter what is going on in the world, that we would look to you, that we would not change. We would open our window and we would continue to pray, that we would continue to bow ourselves before the Almighty God who is in control of all these things, who is in control of every situation. We glorify you this morning, Lord, because you are worthy. You're worthy of all the praise that we can give you and so much more. In Jesus' name, amen.
should die for me.
Thank you.
sin and guilt that bruised and wounded him. It was our sin that brought.
Children's class this morning? You do? Do you mind if we sing a couple kids' songs? All right, the kids can come up front. If you can line up, not looking at us, but looking at them. Ruthie, you're going to have to sit in the far chair over there so you can do all the motions for them so they can see you. Far chair to the row. Thank you. Oops, there. Can you guys stand down here in the middle? Right there. That's a good spot. If you feel short, you can stand on a chair, or maybe not. Can you look that way? Ruthie's going to do all these songs. All right. Actually, why don't we have you all stand, seeing as half of you are sitting most of the time anyway. Let's all stand and sing, God's Not Dead.
God's not dead.
Up, we may as well keep her up, you know. You guys want to sing Wrapped Up, Tied Up, Tangled Up?
Yeah. Wrapped up, tied up, tangled up.
Wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in God.
Cast Your Burdens yet? That's your favorite song. Brandon and I do. Hey. Cast your burdens onto Jesus, for he cares for you. Cast your burdens onto Jesus, for he cares for you. Your burdens onto Jesus, for he cares for you. Cast your burdens onto Jesus, for he cares for you.
Okay. Hello. Good morning. Levi, you want to sit over there? Bring your brother. Where's your brother?
Marcus.
You want to come? If you want. It'll be fun to have you over here. Levi, you want to sit over there? I have a story for you, man. Mexican story. Well, it's not Mexican, but it's a story by a Mexican, anyways. So, isn't it fun to see these little people with so much energy? They've grown a lot. Like, too much, probably. Maybe you guys should stop over there, okay? And just, you cannot be taller than I am, okay? You know that. I'm just kidding. So, okay, I have a question for you. Who's Jesus? Who is Jesus?
God. The Son of God.
This is the Son of God. Anyone else?
Son of God.
The Son of God, yes.
God.
Jesus is God and he is the Son of God. That's amazing. Now, I have a question for you. Does Jesus love you? How do you know that? It says in the Bible. That is true. It is in the Bible that Jesus loves the children. So I have a story for you, really quick over here. Okay? So Jesus, he was talking to some people. Jesus was telling some stories, you know, teaching them about the kingdom of God, all right? And then some people were bringing kids to Jesus. Now, I'm hoping those people were their parents. Parents, are you listening to that? The parents, It doesn't say the parents, as far as I know, but I'm hoping we're the parents, I guess. We're bringing the kids to Jesus so Jesus could pray for them and bless them. All right? So it says, then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. All right? The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, check this out. The disciples thought that was not a good idea. You know, Jesus is too busy. We don't want the kids to bother Jesus. All right? But Jesus said, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and went away. Have you heard the story before? Have you? Yeah. You have heard the story, Marcus. All right. Now, there is another part also in the Bible. You know what? Let's do this really quick. How about we act it out? We do like a really quick play over here. Yes, let's do it. So, let's imagine. Okay, everybody, stand up. Come here. Come here really quick. Everybody over there. Everybody over here. Okay? Let's imagine that Jesus is here. Okay? Jesus is here talking to people and he's teaching them about the kingdom of heaven. Right? And then some people, some adults were bringing, I'm going to need help. You look, come here, amigo. You too, the two of you. You are going to bring them to Jesus. Okay? But we need some disciples. You look like a disciple. Come here, bro. You look like a disciple. That haircut, for some reason, makes me think of a disciple. So, okay, you're a disciple over here. You're a disciple over here. All right? And you guys are the people that are listening to Jesus. Okay? You can actually stand up. Stand up. Yeah. So, are you ready? You are the adults, the uncles or whatever of these kids, okay? And you're going to bring them to Jesus. And you're going to stop them, all right? And you are listening. I'm going to be Jesus this time because I have a beard, okay? So I can do that. So, okay, I'm teaching them the kingdom of heaven. And then, guys, bring the kids. So they start bringing the kids. And the disciples said, what did they say? Disciples, say something. Say, no. Don't bother Jesus right now. He's too busy. And then Jesus noticed that. And Jesus said, hey, hold on. Take it easy, amigos. He says amigos, by the way. Okay? Take it easy. Let the children come. You know, because I love the children. So then they came. And Jesus prayed for them. Nice. Okay, give it applause. Yay. Go sit down really quick. I'm going to finish. Thank you, everybody. You guys are amazing, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you this. Let me tell you this. Say what? Jesus was short like me, by the way. So, let me read the other part in Luke. It says, now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Now, I know, listen, kids, usually when we hear that story, we think of the last part. We think that we need to have the heart of a child, right? And it's talking about the condition. And it's talking about at least what I want to give you, the point that I want to, you know, make right now. Hey, guys, listen. Is this. Usually, many of the adults struggle with this. Sometimes we believe that we have to do something in order to gain the love of Jesus. And that is a lie. The love of Jesus is a gift, right? For instance, I know sometimes the people that share with you, they give you a candy something. They don't give you burritos, I'm sorry. They should give you tacos or something better, right? But when they give you a gift, what do they do? What do they do? They just take it. They don't ask, am I supposed to do something? Even if they stay here and didn't pay attention, they still receive a candy because it's a gift. It's a gift. That's how the love of Jesus is. It's a gift. Now, that is what we usually point out, but I want to tell you something else. The fact that Jesus wanted to relate to the kids says something very important that we sometimes forget. And you know what that is? You, as a kid, it doesn't matter how old you are. It does not matter. Hey, guys, listen. Pay attention to this part. This is the most important part. It doesn't matter how old you are, okay? It does not matter if you made mistakes. You can have a relationship with Jesus. Yes, you can, Dominic. The baby can too. All of us can have a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. Did you know that? Jesus wants you to know him, and he wants to be known by you. That is awesome. Because at the beginning we said that Jesus is God, and he is indeed. He is the Son of God. Can you imagine the Son of God? He wants to know you, and he wants you to have a relationship with him. That is very special. Okay? So I want you to be conscious about that. Jesus wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. Now, really quick, I want to read this for you, okay, that we got this today here, the program of today's service. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." In other words, God has a plan for you. Okay, sometimes when you are at home and then your parents say, we're going to have ice cream tonight. That is the plan. It sounds like a good plan to have ice cream, all right? So the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you. Check this out. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. Guys, listen, kids. Your hope and your future is in Jesus. And he wants to know you. Would you remember that? That's why it's very important for you to read the Bible. Even if you don't know how to read it, you know, with some pictures you can understand. And you can also ask your parents to read the Bible to you. Huh? All right? Okay. Shall we pray for them? Let's pray together as a church. If you want to stand up, and if not, that's also fine. Let's pray for this beautiful people that the Lord loves. Father, we thank you for each one of these kids, God. Father, we pray that your spirit is with them every single day of their lives. God, that they get to know you and that they get to be known by you every single day. That they get to know your word and walk in the truth of who you are. Protect these kids, Lord, from the attacks of the enemy. Bless each one of them. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. Thank you for helping me. You may go back. Thank you, Dominic. Want to go to you, Daddy and Mommy? I just want to point out something really quick. Just the importance of teaching our kids, you know, as parents. This little people learn so much and so fast. I feel like, you know, years ago or something, I was trying to teach Denzel, but for some reason I was like afraid or even mentioning Satan. You know, because I don't want him to know that side. I want him to know the good side. But he's growing, he's asking questions. Who's Satan? And I'm like, where do you learn that word? It's a reality. And I'm not going to tell you how to do it. You know, I don't even know how am I doing it. But I'm just trying to, you know, help him understand. And I'm praying to God that he will help each one of us to lead our kids to the Lord. Now, for some reason, I want to tell you this. In the Bible, children, I'm still talking to you, okay? Pay attention to this. In the Bible, God explains how there is a heaven and how there is a place called hell. And hell is awful. The way he describes it is like no one wants to go over there. They don't have tacos in hell, of course. They are in heaven, right? Now, check this out. Even though it's described like a very, very awful place, uncomfortable, it sounds like it's hot, and you know, it's awful. You know what the worst part about hell is? Can you guess? The worst part is that Jesus and his presence is not there. That is the worst thing that can happen to us as humans, as the creation of God, not being with the one that created us. Let's remember that. In hell, there is no Spirit of God. In hell, there is no Jesus. The Father doesn't go over there. Hey, but we're going to heaven. If Jesus is in your heart, we're going to the best place that we could ever be. God bless you.
Good morning to each of you. Glad to have everyone here this morning. Welcome to the visitors and everyone. Great to have you here. I was going to read a scripture, and it's not popping up on my phone right now, but it's in Psalms 46:10-11. And there's been quite a few times this week, and I don't know if you guys this week got to see a little bit of the eclipse here, but is my mind's been running in a lot of different places. Just having a beautiful, beautiful week, how the heavens declare the glory of God. And with the eclipse and everything, and just, it's kind of very of a fascinating thing to me. I'm not trying to make any claims here or nothing, but it's a very significant pattern that this eclipse has created. If you go back in like 2017, in like the last 3 eclipses, I believe, the pattern that it has made gone across our nation. And yeah, it's a very, very interesting thing that I guess back in 2017, there were like 7 different cities that it crossed over, named Salem. And from my understanding, this go round, there were 7 different cities in U.S. that was called Nineveh. And some of the words that it means is very, very interesting. And the other thing was, I believe it came across Corpus Christi. And from what I read is God be with us. And so anyway, there are just a lot of different things that have kind of been running through my head. And you hear about like Israel got attacked here in the last couple of days by Iran. So we live in a very exciting time. Some people it can be a fearful time, but I think it's a very exciting time to see some of the prophecies and end times kind of coming together. Now, I'm not going to tell you God's coming next week. but I believe, you know, today is the day of salvation. We have no promise for tomorrow. And just being out on the road this week and just seeing this beautiful Colorado weather, seeing the blue skies like we got this morning, seeing the Rockies, and just how God declares himself in his creation. So anyway, enough of that. We do have a fellowship meal planned here this afternoon, so please hang around for that, if you would. Looks like April the 24th. Is that this coming week, the men's book study? Oh, it'll be the following week for the men's book study, April the 24th at John's house. Prayer, like normal, on the Saturday mornings. Awesome. We got our youth retreat. We got it on our calendar now, August 7th through the 11th. So please do spread that word. We'd love to have everybody here. If you have any friends or youth that would like to attend, feel free to share that with them. Looks like we have the Walker Hymn Singing coming up June the 15th. Personally, I haven't been there already, but hopefully I can be able to attend that this year. I've heard a lot of just a very inspirational time and a time of encouragement to see fellow believers coming together, sitting out there on the lawn, just praising God in Him. Anyway, we'll turn the time over to Brother Phil, and it looks like we have the ministry share time today then as well. We'll turn it over to Phil.
It's interesting how the Holy Spirit speaks consistently through different people, both through the songs, through what you shared, Anava, through the children's lesson, and the Lord has just been putting a lot of these words into my own heart. And it as the Lord was prepping me for my little counseling meeting with JJ out here this morning. By the way, just so you know, many times we preachers need a counseling meeting too, not with a professional shrink. Yeah, definitely not with a shriek. But we need a counseling meeting with a child. Did you know that? Jesus said in Matthew 18, just what Eli was sharing, unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Have you become like a little child? Then you haven't entered. I think that's why many who profess Jesus will stand before his throne and say, have we not done all these great things in your name? And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Go to hell. Depart from me. Most awful words people will hear. And it will be because of that one thing. They never became like a little child. I was sitting out here and JJ comes out and he starts talking to me. And that's one of the... This has been a very trying week for me. But when he said his week was fun, the Lord said to me, your week was fun. You just didn't realize it. You didn't enjoy it like I had planned you would. And then we were talking and he says, well, one of the fun things he did was riding his bike. And I said, are you ever scared? Ride your bike? He said, no, Jesus is always with me. Oh. Is Jesus always with you? When you're scared, takes that fear away. So that was my little counseling meeting with a child this morning. Before we go into the ministry team sharing, I just wanted to share these words with you. The vision that Jesus gave us of ministry in the church is found in Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, we find that a couple of the disciples' mother was being a mom, a good mom. And Mary, she wanted her two sons to have a special place in Jesus' kingdom. Verse 20, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, bowing down and making a request. Now, this was quite normal for mothers to do this to a king. Do you remember how Solomon's mom did it to David? Bowing down, showing reverence with a request for her sons. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, command. Jesus, command that in your kingdom, these two sons of mine might sit, one on your right, one on your left. Now that would have been quite a command, because whoever sat on the right and the left of a king on his throne were his closest confidants and counselors. But Jesus answered and said, boy, I don't think she was expecting this, neither were John and James. Do you know what you're asking? Have you ever asked Jesus for something really important in your life? And you thought it's something you really need. And Jesus turns and asks you a question. Do you know what you're asking from me? Has Jesus ever asked you that? Do you know what you're asking? Are you able to drink of the cup that I am about to drink? They said to him, we are able. Wow. They didn't have a clue, did they? But they were very confident. He said to them, my cup you shall drink. And this James was the first one to be beheaded of all the apostles. He drank of that cup. But to sit on my right and on my left, that is not mine to give. Wow. They were asking the wrong guy. I was, what? Jesus, you're going to be the king. And you're saying, it's not yours. I can't get that from you. And that's exactly how it happens to us many times. When we want to be important in God's kingdom, Jesus answers us, do you know what you're asking? Are you able to drink of my cup? Are you able to take up my cross? Follow me. Oh, and by the way, what you're asking, I can't give it to you. It's not mine to give to you. But you will drink of my cup without that reward. For whom it has been prepared, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. And hearing this, boy, this caused a ruckus. The 10 others, they heard about this. Who do you think you are anyway, Brad? Who do you think you are, Angel? Someone important here? What about me? You too are someone special? You're asking Jesus for all this favoritism? They became indignant with the two brothers. I can imagine what that sounded like. Just hang out with brothers for a day, right? We've all been there, right, sisters? You've all heard that from us boys. It's real brotherly love. But Jesus called them to himself and said, and I can picture this, and I want you to picture this. Jesus calling his 12 men, these 12 childlike men, childish men, and Jesus in the middle, and he's looking at them. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their great men exercise authority over them. It is not so among you. There is no one who is the boss. Not among you. There is no Lord. There is no one who has the authority. It is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you, anyone want to get a promotion in God's kingdom? There's a way. What are you to do? Become a slave. What did slaves do in their day? They all knew what that looked like. What did slaves do? What was the one most common thing that slaves did? Served, worked. What kind of work? What did they do in a house? Huh? Hard work. What kind of hard work? Very mundane and boring. Yes. The slave almost always, whenever someone came in the door, he had a tub of water. And he would wash everybody's dirty, filthy feet. Because they wore sandals and they walked on dirt roads. And they were either muddy or dusty. So their feet, by the time they had walked 10 or 20 miles, were caked with dirt or mud. The slave was to do that. Any volunteers to clean shoes here this morning? And then when their shoes are all done, you can clean their feet. You want to be great in God's kingdom? That's the way. Become a slave. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. It's the attitude, I am here to serve. And that's why we in the church here have decided to call ourselves, who serve you, a ministry team. The word ministry means serving, servant. In those days, when you were a minister, you were a servant. That's why I don't like the title pastor or all of those other fancy titles that are so common in Christianity, because it takes away from who we really are. I mean, the scripture is clear in Ephesians 4 that God has given the gift to the church of pastors. That simply means to shepherd other people, to serve them. To serve them. That's how we shepherd each other, care for each other. And so I just wanted to share that again with you as we walk through this and kind of present ourselves in front of you as your servants. That's who we are. That's who God has called us to be. And it's an honor to do that. And it doesn't make us great in God's kingdom. The Lord will reward us. But for here, that's who we are. And Jesus said in Luke 17, even in the heavenlies, when we get there, he gave this story of a farmer who had slaves. And he called his servant in after he was done with a whole day's work in the field. And he said, make me dinner. And so the slave made him dinner. And he said, now, tidy up the house, wash the dishes, did all that. And then you can go take care of yourself. And then Jesus said something important. You should read it in Luke 17. He said, does the boss thank the slave and really bless him for doing a good job? What do you think? Huh? No. No. He does not. He only did what was expected of him. He doesn't get a thank you and a big blessing and a big... No. Jesus said no. The slave doesn't even expect it. All he does is said, I have done my duty, when he goes to bed that night. And that really speaks to me, and it should to all of us, that when we do serve everyone, we wear ourselves out at the end of the day, are we expecting a blessing, a thank you? If you are, you'll be disappointed in your serving Christ, because Christ won't give it to you. You're just doing your duty, what he's called you to do. The honor is being a servant of Jesus. That's enough. I get to be a servant of Jesus. Like, you know, I get to serve in the White House. It's enough. Except it's not the White House of the U.S. It's the Golden White House. Anyway, I just wanted to kind of set that as a stage for us, and I'm now going to invite the rest of you as a ministry team to come up, and we'll sit here together. And we're going to share a few things with you, beginning with Brother Anthony is going to share with us how the Lord is calling him and Ruth Ann into the work that God has called them to. Chair, grab another chair. So here we are, your servants. Anthony.
My mind went to a verse in Proverbs. 16, verse 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And I believe that's where God wants to have each of us as we choose to follow him. Now, if we're not following him, he's not going to direct our steps, or at least we're not going to listen to the direction that he gives us. But I believe through his spirit, he gives us wisdom to plan our way. He gives us light through his word and through opportunities he brings to us and circumstances in life. He uses many things to speak to us, to plan our way, and then he says, I'll direct your steps. And you know, that's a comfort to me to know that God will direct those things. And sometimes we plan things that maybe God says, oh, wait a minute here, let me direct you this way instead. But that's the comfort that we have as a child of God, that as we plan, as we seek to serve him with our lives and we plan, that he will direct our steps. And that's been a reality for our family. Going on to, it's probably been getting close to a year and a half, a year and 4 months or so ago, God started impressing on our hearts that he might be eventually leading us back to Missouri, in the area where Ruth Ann grew up and her family is from. And we thought maybe that would be several years down the road, but as we started seeking in that direction, God started opening doors that we didn't really expect to be open. And just, it's amazing how God works through all sorts of different circumstances. So often, you know, we want to see, you know, God speak to me, give me some great big sign type of thing. And he can do that. But so often, if we are listening and watching, he gives us all these little confirmations throughout life, throughout circumstances, showing that he is in control and he pulls circumstances of life together to show us his will. And that's what he's done for us very clearly in ways that we didn't really expect or weren't even totally looking for. And as such, we are planning our move back to Missouri here in a couple of weeks. And that's now been in the works for about 8 months that we knew that this was going to happen. So that is happening here in a couple of weeks. And for myself, I've been in the area here for 17 years, I think. And in that amount of time, I've the amount of relationships and things that have grown and been established in my life. Papa, Phil, Carrie, you guys have walked with me almost every step of the way those 17 years. And it's a blessing to have relationships like that, and it's relationships like that that I will miss as God leads us on different paths. But I'm thankful to see what God has been doing and how he's been leading, and I'm thankful for the fact that, you know, while God calls us to the work that he calls us to, we're not indispensable, if you will, to his kingdom. Now, he wants to use us, but God can and will raise up other people to serve as well. The kingdom of God doesn't necessarily depend on one particular individual. And I've been blessed as we've walked through this transition period in the last several months as a ministry team, and other people stepping up, people with, you know, fresh new vision and talents, and that's been a blessing to me to see that, and I'm excited about that and what God is going to continue to do here, and the opportunities for people to serve and how people are answering the call to serve, and that excites me to see the work of God going forward. So as we embark on this new venture, pray for us, pray that God would allow us to be the people, the church that he wants us to be in the new area that God has called us to go to.
Okay, I told Anthony that, you know, we as a church prayed over them, he and Ruth Ann and the children. We commissioned them to the service here as a body. And as Matthew 16 tells us, that when the church commissions that, it also can release it. And that's honored in heaven. And so, Ruth Ann, would you and the children come forward, and you guys just kneel down here in front of us, and let's come around them and pray over them and release them to the Lord. Let's all pray together.
Father, I just come before you this morning, Lord, so thankful for the blessings that you have given us, and one of them is friends, and some are just brothers that are closer than real brothers, Lord, and I just thank you so much that you have done that. And Lord, I thank you for Anthony and Ruth Ann and the life that they have led for you and the way that you have called and led them through these years that I have known them. And Lord, I just pray that you would go before them as they go, not as separating themselves from us or in any way that we are not a part of the body of Christ, but Lord, that we are the body of Christ and we are just in different areas and different parts, and maybe we don't get to see each other every Sunday, but Lord, that you are working and guiding and directing each one of us. And Lord, I just pray that you would go before them, prepare a way. I pray that they would be strong wherever they are at and whatever church they may end up attending or going to and committing themselves to, Lord, I just pray that you would build them up in their faith and that they would know you more and that they would bring the gifts that you have given them and the desire they have to serve you and to know you and to encourage others. I pray that you would do that in their life there as well. And Lord, that someday in heaven we no longer have to part or say goodbye, if you will, but Lord, that we all know that we are part of the family of God and that we'll see each other and live in eternity together, amen, serving you in Jesus' name.
Lord, I thank you for Anthony and Ruthie, Lord, and all that they mean to us, Lord, as a church, Lord, over the years, Lord. We're going to miss them, Lord, but we commission them to you, Lord, that you would continue to use them, Lord, for your glory, Lord, for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and just bring comfort to them, Lord. Bless the children, Lord, as they get the new, amen, make new Lord. Friends, Lord, yes, and just Father. Pray that their school and everything, Lord, would work out for them. Mm-hmm. Thank you for them, Lord. Just keep, help them to continue to serve you, Lord, and bless their moving, Lord. Give them grace, Lord,
amen,
and give them
Lord Jesus.
Victory and all areas of life, Lord, safety and highways, Lord, and just thank you for them. Bless them, in Jesus' name, Lord.
Amen. Father, we continue to just lift up Brother Anthony before you. Father, we release him from his ministry and his serving here of the local body in Jesus Christ's name, and we thank you for his faithful serving, Lord, and how, Lord Jesus, he did it with his whole heart, and the call he had put on his life, and he answered that call. And Lord, we thank you for the blessing that Ruth Ann has been to all of us, Father, and in their home and their marriage, and to the sisters here in the church, Father. We pray that you would continue, Lord, to bless her and make her a blessing to her husband. And Lord, as you call them together as a couple to move, we pray that you, Lord Jesus, would be the shepherd of their souls. Continue to bless them and make them a blessing. And Father, we thank you for Sherry and Tiffy and for Caden. We're
going to miss these guys, Lord. And I pray that you would bless them. Lord, as they grow up in this home, Father, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit into their young hearts and disciple them and bless them and make you their all in all and make them a blessing to all who get to know them in their new life there in Missouri. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I want to also take this time to introduce two new brothers that have joined our team. We've felt like seeing their gifts, and they felt the calling and have really stepped forward and blessed us with their gifts. In taking both Anthony's place, Anthony's played numerous roles behind the scenes that you may not be aware of, but he overseen the sound ministry since the church was formed here. And he also overseen the moderating of the services, which you did see publicly. So we've kind of divided that up. And in the last month, for sure, maybe a little bit more, you have been blessed by Brother Jeremiah and his service here. And he has really been a blessing to us with the sound team, has put a lot of time and energy into that already. And is continuing to just really take that, expand the knowledge of it, and make it better than what it's ever been before here. And so let's welcome Jeremiah to our team. And also Brother Merv. Brother Merv Peachy has joined us and has been willing to serve in the moderating, assisting that, and in Jeremiah back there. So he's kind of taking a twofold ministry of assisting both in the moderating, so you'll see him do more of that as well, and then also in the assistance of Jeremiah and the team back there. And one of the things the Lord has been leading us into is to be have a more of a plurality of ministry in all areas so that it doesn't just depend on the one person, so that we can also feel free to travel some and spend time with our family or whatever the Lord gives us to serve elsewhere, that the work here continues to go on. It's not just dependent heavily on one person. And God has been so faithful, both with myself and my serving you here and with Eli, the two of us kind of taking that pastoral ministry to you. And then with the other brothers, Dad and Dave, and also Jeremiah has also crossed over into this role as being more of the deacons of the church here. And Jeremiah's taken on the secretary work of the church, taking minutes, recording things like that, and working with Dave, who is the treasurer in with the funds. And so those three work on the financial end of the church, overseeing all of that. And also just prayerfully handling that and sharing it to the needs that are around us. So let's welcome Brother Merv to the team. Thank you, brothers, for your labor of love and your service there. Brother Dave will be transitioning a bit more in taking the lead role as moderating the meetings, and so you'll see him take more of the leadership role in that area. I'm going to go ahead and give each of these brothers now time to go ahead and share with whatever's on their hearts with you, and also to interact with you if you have questions for us. We'll start with you, Eli.
really? Am I supposed to say something specifically or just? All right. Well, hello everybody. Eli Gámez. Well, I would like to say, I don't know about you, and I honestly would like to know from your side too. I feel like this last few months that we've been going through specifically the book of Colossians, it's been such a blessing personally. Like, you know, focusing on one single book. And just going through it, in my case, little by little, because remember, English is my second language. So sometimes I do need to go back and read it again and read it again, or try to find a translation or something. It's been such a blessing. It's affecting my life, my relationship with God in a good way. You know what I mean. But at the same time, I was wondering if you're seeing the same effect in your heart, in your lives, or if it is boring to you. I don't know, that we're talking about the same book for the last, I don't know, 3 months or something. I've been challenged, you know, by the Lord, specifically with the opportunity of serving you, brothers and sisters, and just the responsibility, you know, of being here. A good challenge, I must say, a good challenge. And I don't know, I feel like it's, you know, it's a challenge that is making me grow, thank God. And I'm just thankful for that. And I just want to express, you know, that I'm so happy, you know, that God has each one of us today in this place, and it's been awesome. So anyways, I would like to ask you that question. I want to ask you the question. What do you think? Is this something that you are you being challenged? Are you growing? Are you connecting with the Word of God? Or does that make sense? Or you feel like, hey, I want to know the root of that word, if it's coming from the Hebrew or whatever. I mean, that's valid too. You know, I mean, there is a point on studying the Bible that way, which is totally fine. So anyways, I mean, that's what's in my heart right now. I don't know if there is any questions from your side specifically. I mean, to me, could be a salsa recipe or something, whatever. Or I don't know about the ministry or something. I don't know. I mean, whatever. So this is your chance. Thank you. Yeah, and thank you for sharing that, Sarita. I also would like to add, you know, before we started studying the book of Colossians, I did some research, I guess. Like, why did Paul write this letter to these people during this time? I feel like that helped me a lot to understand, you know, that they were going through a time in which there were so many religions, so many lines of thinking about you can do this, there is Jesus plus this plus that. And having that in mind before you read it is like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, no wonder Paul was very clear in A, only Jesus. This is about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus everywhere. So don't go to another place. That being said, next time I get to share, is it next Sunday? This coming Sunday. We're gonna go through Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 to 23, in case you want to read it during the week. And so that way we all have an idea where we're going to. Anyone else? No? Yeah. Hey, I like it. I like the mic. I'm sorry, okay?
I'm not sure what I'm supposed to share either. I'm about as speechless as Lee over here, but he can come up with stuff so fast. even though Phil didn't mention it this morning, I mean, my part of this is more as far as being with the youth, working with the youth. And I don't know if the boys have it numbered down to how many youth nights we have left, but it's getting smaller and smaller too. But, you know, I've learned over the years as I've been – teaching and working with the youth that I am probably the greater recipient of it than anybody else, as far as I'm so blessed when I get to sit there and talk with them. And we have a Bible study together, and usually I come away with some different thoughts and different ideas than what I ever went into it with, even though the youth have to listen to everything that's going on in my life spiritually, I guess, because that's what the Bible studies are usually built out of. I'm always so encouraged by what they have to say, and usually I go into the next week more encouraged than what it was. And I had to think of this verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, says, "Therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." And the beginning of that chapter is talking about the day of the Lord. It's talking about being prepared and you know, that we do not, the devil will come in as a thief in the night. We are to be prepared. And I think so often that is, I guess, where my heart is when we're having Bible studies or what we're doing with the youth, is just preparing each other, encouraging each other, building each other up to our faith in Jesus Christ. Because so quickly, I think we can get distracted by the things of this world or what is in it, what is going on, how hard our week was, how much our workload is. But really, we want to build each other up in the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so that's kind of where I've been. And again, I guess I'll open up if any questions. I exclude all youth from that. No, just kidding. Good.
Well, for me, I had to think this morning what it says in the book of Amos, prepare to meet thy God. And as you know, my wife went before me here. It's going to be 3 months already this week, the 17th. And my heart is to prepare that time in my life too, of course. And the Bible tells us to occupy till he comes. So I'm going through a little different season. But I'm glad to be here. I always love to serve. And I'm not really one to really open a book and read a book, where I'd rather be out maybe golfing or doing things with other people or working or something like that. So I think that's what the Lord wants me to do, is serve the body of Christ in more physical things. And if I could do that, helps and all that whatever that entails. But that's a little my heart, and what the gift that the Lord has given me is more in doing things like that and taking care of the churchyard and those things. So anyhow, any questions? Thank you. God gives grace.
Yeah, so I was thinking about what to share this morning, and kind of, I mean, this is a new thing for me, I was thinking about I thought about the verse in Mark 2 where Jesus was eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, and people were questioning him. And he said, "It's not those who are healthy who need a physician, it's those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous but sinners." And also in John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly." And I guess that's what that's what I want to be a part of, and that's the kind of church I want to be a part of, where people that have needs, we all have needs in different ways. And you know, at first my thought was, I want people to come and be comfortable. That's not really the right word, because when I go to a doctor, I'm usually not very comfortable, and I usually don't feel like going often, but I'm usually glad I did. The few times that I have needed one. And so it's more maybe a trusting, a place you can come and trust people, and you know that we'll all be there for each other. That's the kind of and there is comfort in that, but there's also not always, it's not always fun. This isn't really what I would call fun. But anyway, so I just want to be here and help serve and do whatever needs to be done and whatever anybody is asking of me. So any questions?
You'll grow into it. It'll become fun. Lucas asked me this morning, said,
this week, Dad, you said a few weeks ago or some time ago, I guess when I was preaching, it's like, you don't like being a pastor. Like, you cry about it sometimes. And I was like, what? Did I say that? Yeah, you did. And I had to think about it. And this morning we went for a walk, and the Lord brought that back to my heart. It's like, you know, did Jesus love dying on the cross for us? Do you think that was what his flesh enjoyed? No. But he did it for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. Now he's very glad he did. It's his joy that we're here and a part of that. And that's a little how serving is. You know, it's a cross that we take, and the flesh doesn't like it. My flesh doesn't like to preach or, you know, and serve in a way. It puts the flesh to death. But there is a joy that makes us glad to do it. It's an honor. It's, in that sense of it, it's spiritual fun. The flesh has to die, but it's spiritual fun. And I had to explain that to Lucas, and it gave me a little opportunity when you shared that, Merv. Is like, if you were here that Sunday and I shared that, it's the love of my life. But would my flesh choose this life? No. But for Christ, it's the glory and joy of our Christian life here on the earth, is to take up the cross of ministry and serving, and all of us have it in one form or another, and do it for the joy set before us.
Thanks for sharing that. Perfect ending.
As a few of you know, that I kind of intrigue with personalities and everything, and as we're sitting here, I'm like, Lee was just taking it all in. I'm like, those are the talkers. These are the quiet guys here. no offense, but no, it is an honor, like Brother Phil was sharing. In the physical sense, no, it's not really fun. But being part of the ministry team, how would you say? It's a humbling experience, but yet there's a lot of joys that come with it in being able to serve with these brethren, just being part of their lives and hearing their testimonies. And yeah, just like I was saying earlier, like being with the personality thing that I've taken, of course, is there is not one specific role that is necessarily higher than the other, like Brother Phil was sharing this morning, in God's kingdom. It takes a body to work together. And, yeah, it's just been an, you know, some people, Brother Phil and Ali, they're sharing the word, and where we might do what you call the backside of things. And I know Brother Jemai here, with the sound system, some of the issues that's been going on, poured a tremendous amount of time into that. And I just really noticed seeing, was it Jeff? It's just been a tremendous blessing. For me personally, I've taken note that the sound is so much better, and, you know, with our online recording and everything. But, yeah, I'm just grateful to be part of this body. And it's not of myself or any of us, but it's to further his kingdom.
Yeah, and so just kind of going back to what Brother Anthony said about God, you know, kind of guide your steps, and that takes a ton of faith and trust in him to be able to, you know, really understand that. And this is definitely a new form of service for me, and it kind of started just through a side conversation that Brother Phil and Brother Kerry and I had away from the church one day, and you know, just some trying to clean up some stuff on the stage, and then I don't know, a year later, I guess here we are today, where you know, now it just came to where Brother Anthony's moving. They need somebody to help out with the sound and also fill in some roles from a ministry team, which is very new for me. But I think with taking what Brother Anthony said about, you know, trusting in the Lord and letting him guide your steps, it's oftentimes in those quiet moments or, you know, those side conversations that if you're truly trusting in him and willing to be open, then that's where, you know, that's where his guidance is going to come in, and you can't always just close those doors, and you have to be open to those doors. And so for me, I feel like, you know, even though it's time and it's energy, it's fulfilling because it is helping the church out so much and helping the church kind of continue to do great things for all of you and people that are watching online or listening online. So, you know, I just appreciate the opportunity that these guys have given me, and hopefully I can fill the shoes that Anthony has taken on over the last, what, 17 years, you said, or whatever it's been. I don't know. And then just kind of, you know, I'm so thankful for some of the younger people that help out back there. You know, Derek spends a ton of time back there, and most of you probably don't even see him because he's back there so much. Michael does a ton of work with kind of the live stream. Patrick, it does a ton when he's back there and helps out a lot. So I just, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to work with all of those people and do God's work and serve all of you. So I guess any questions or anything?
Amen, and I agree, you know, so much. The church, Ephesians 4 says, the church is built by that which every joint supplies. And though you may not have a focused ministry here in the church, this church is built by you. Yeah, you, Brad. Yes, you, Megan. Yes, each one of you. It's built by that which each joint has a supply, and that's what makes up the body of Christ. And so be encouraged, and I just want to say thank you to every one of you and the blessing you are and have been to me personally, and you are to the body of Christ and the encouragement you are to us.
I know you guys probably all know these verses, but I think it's just fitting for what we've all been talking about here this morning, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 says, "Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." And I think that's the heart behind each and every one.
Yes. Amen. Well, Dave, we'll let you close.
thanks again, I guess, for everyone for coming. Just grateful to be a part of the community and the church here. And thank you, I guess. I just thinking about, you see us men, but you women as well, for everything that you do in the kitchen, keeping the facility tidy and cleaned up and whatnot. So there is when you kind of in a ministry team or in leadership role, there's a deeper appreciation for people that do serve and see the time and effort that's involved and just giving up of your time and everything. So anyway, I think the lunch is ready here, so why don't we just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and your goodness to us, Lord. It's because of you that we're here gathered in this way. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless each and every one. It's not one individual, but it's here as a body, Lord. And we want to honor and glorify you in everything that we do. And Lord, I just pray that you continue to bless this fellowship. And Lord, as we seek your will, your direction, Lord, I just pray that we could be that beacon on a hill, and Lord, that people can see you through our lives. Lord, I just pray that you be with us all here as we depart from here. Lord, I just want to pray a special blessing on Anthony and Ruthie and their family. Lord, the blessing that they have been to this fellowship and the testimony, the encouragement. Lord, I just pray you go before them, give them direction, give them grace in the next few weeks and with their changes and everything. Bless them, Father. Lord, we thank you for the physical food. Bless it to our bodies. Bless the hand that prepared it. And bless our time together around these tables, Lord. And we just thank you for your faithfulness. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed.